This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
NFL teams with do or die off seasons. That's just been one of the themes here on the show on this Wednesday morning. Good morning to you. It is the Maggie and Perloff show. Andrew Perloff is on vacation in Costa Rica. So EJ Stewart, our executive producer, slides in to the co-host role today. And EJ, you and I are looking at teams that just feel like it's all or nothing this off season, where if they go all in, if they make the right moves, they sign their players to the right types of contracts, it could be Super Bowl. Like, that is the ceiling for some of these teams. Conversely, you get, you know, mired in contract negotiations.
Yeah.
You make a couple bad moves here or there, and we literally have seen these teams also finish last in their divisions. I'm talking about the San Francisco 49ers, and I know you have another team in mind.
Yeah, the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, three of your top four players are basically in massive contract disputes. And Joe Burrow has made it clear that he thinks there's a way to bring everybody back.
Yeah, right.
Do the Bengals agree with his methods? Is he an assistant GM now? I don't know.
Well, let's get the thoughts of someone who we hold in such high regard, and that is Judy Batista, who is a columnist for NFL.com. She's a reporter for NFL Network, has been covering the league for so long, and a University of Miami alum, and that is EJ's favorite school. Judy, thanks so much for the time today. How are you?
Great to be with you guys. How are you?
We're fantastic. You know, Perloff's going to be so upset that he missed this. He's on a zip line in Costa Rica. But EJ and I have you. You're in good hands. You know, we were just talking about these teams that feel like they have so much to gain and lose this offseason. I said the 49ers. EJ said the Bengals. We had some other contributions. Someone said the Raiders. Green Bay came up. Is there a team you think is really feeling the heat this offseason?
Well, I was listening to you guys before you brought me on, and the team that popped into my head when I was listening was the Bengals also, because they don't just have contract issues. I mean, they have major contract issues with their most important players outside of Joe Burrow. And what I think is so interesting, you pointed this out, is that Burrow has realized that he has power in that organization and is flexing it. The fact that he has, like, repeatedly sort of poked management and said, you know, you don't want to make a business of letting your best players walk out the door, and the Philadelphia Eagles seem to be paying everybody. That seems to be the way to do it. Like, the fact that he's gone public with that is certainly, you know, putting some of the pressure on our front office that, let's face it, historically is not known for doing, like, huge contracts, or not known for doing innovative contracts. But, you know, they've got the manpower to win at the highest level. I mean, they went to the Super Bowl. That wasn't that long ago. So the question is, can they keep this team intact? If they can, we saw last season when they were healthy, what they're capable of. Like, you know, this is a team that if they can manage to keep these players in the fold, should be dangerous, and should be dangerous for a while.
Judy, you know, everyone looks to the Philadelphia Eagles, and rightly so. And they're not the only team doing this, but it seems like they're the team doing it the best, which is they find a way to keep all their top guys and keep paying them and keep them happy. How does Howie Roseman pull this off when it seems like such a challenge for teams like the Bengals or the New Orleans Saints or other teams who find themselves always facing these cap issues?
Well, I mean, there's certainly the argument, are they, you know, do they just keep kicking the can down the road to, you know, the way they're structuring contracts? Eventually they will have to deal with it. But the other thing they do that he does, how he does is, like, they have drafted exceedingly well, right? I mean, last year's draft class was a masterpiece. Last year's offseason in general for the Eagles was just a masterpiece.
Yeah.
So they're really good at that. And then Zach Bond, an all-pro, was signed to a one-year contract for like $10 million. I mean, that's, you know, not to minimize $10 million, but that's nothing in the NFL. So they're just really good at finding pieces for what they need and then keeping the veterans they want on contracts that you think eventually they will, you know, they will have to face their maker there. But it hasn't happened yet. And in the meantime, they're winning Super Bowls, and that's really all that matters, right? I mean, the idea, the goal in the NFL, the goal in professional sports is not to win the contract negotiation. The goal is to win the championship.
Judy, when we could talk about the Bengals, they said, apparently the reporting yesterday was that they're really trying to get all three guys done, is that their goal is to try to find a long-term deal for Higgins, Henderson, and Ja'Marr Chase. What do you think? Is it going to be all three, two, or they'll only come up with one? Like, how many of these guys do you think they actually can bring back, and are they willing to bring back?
Well, they should be willing to bring them back.
Right.
Ja'Marr Chase they have to bring Ja'Marr Chase back. They have to extend Ja'Marr Chase. T. Higgins, this conversation comes up in the context of the franchise tag window opening yesterday. Would they tag him again? And the reporting from my colleague, Tom Pelissero, is that they are going to try to get a long-term deal done, and they would only use the tag, the deadline to place the tag is 2 weeks. They would only use the tag if they can't get a deal done now to buy them more time, right? That buys you until like mid-July to get a long-term deal done, but they want a long-term deal. And then, honestly, Trey Hendrickson is one of the best pass rushers in the league. He is the linchpin of that defense, which sagged a little bit last year, but has been really good in the past. They have changed their defensive coordinator. They have to give it the effort to keep all three. Certainly, Chase has to be retained. T. Higgins certainly is somebody that Joe Burrow has been lobbying for. He said, again, repeatedly, you know, there are ways to keep us together. You don't want to let your best players walk out the door. I think he said that actually in reference to Hendrickson when he was asked about him. So they have to get this, you know, again, traditionally, this is not a team that is thought of as spending big time and being creative with their contract structure. But, you know, there is sort of a new generation of leadership there, a younger generation of leadership. And they have to be looking at the window of, well, you have Joe Burrow. This is your chance to win a Super Bowl. He is an elite, elite level quarterback. Like, you have to go for it here. And to the extent that they can sort of prevail on Mike Brown and the Brown family to open the coffers a little bit more, they have to give it a shot to keep all these guys.
Judy Batista is a columnist for NFL.com, a reporter for NFL Network, and one of our absolute faves. And Judy, you know, I'm not a Steeler fan, but I'm like frustrated on their behalf because, you know, they have this great defense and they're always in the mix for the playoffs, yet it's obviously been so long since they've won a playoff game. And now, here's the triumvirate of quarterbacks that it looks like, at least at the outset, that they're looking at. Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, who they have both had last year, and now maybe a rumor that Daniel Jones could be the apple of their eye. I mean, what do you say to Steelers fans who look at that trio of quarterbacks and think, oh my goodness, how are we going to win with these guys? And two, do you think the Steelers should be making a bigger play for a quarterback who's I don't know if he'd be more established than Russell Wilson, but for someone who has a higher ceiling than maybe what Russ has right now?
I do. Art Rooney, too, the owner, said a few weeks ago at the end of the season that he thought they would re-sign one of the two, either Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. It's hard for me to believe the way the season ended and the way the offense ended that last month that it would be Russell Wilson. And don't forget, going all the way back to training camp last year, there was a strong sentiment in the building for Justin Fields. Now, Mike Tomlin made the ultimate decision, and it worked for a long time. They got to the playoffs. But there is a great deal of fondness for Justin Fields there. and anticipation for what he might be able to do. So if I had to guess right now, if they're going to resign one of them, it would be Fields, who clearly has a bigger upside, right? I mean, I think you already know what Russell Wilson's ceiling is. You still could see Justin Fields' upside. And then in terms of, you know, they do not typically make, you know, big splashy plays, but they have a championship caliber defense, certainly. You know, could they look at Kirk Cousins, who's going to become available and who presumably will be better in his second season after an Achilles tear than he was after his first? You know, could they look at somebody like that, a Daniel Jones? You know, do they think that they can sort of work with him to reduce the turnovers and get a little bit more out of him? The problem for the Steelers, and they're in like this gray area, right? They're never bad enough that they're picking very high in the draft. And that's a credit to the roster they have and a credit to Mike Tomlin's coaching. But that means you're always searching for a quarterback somewhere else. And that's hard to do. Like, it's rare to see people hit on quarterbacks that you're taking later in the draft, or, you know, just sort of finding in free agency, not one of the top free agents. So they're in a tough spot. Look, Daniel Jones played well in spurts for the Giants. I mean, the one season that they went to the playoffs with Daboll showed you, like, they could cut down on the turnovers. They could get good production out of him. If, you know, do they think that they've got the manpower around him to get that? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I would, you know, if I was a Steelers fan, I would hope for a bigger swing than that, probably.
Judy Batista is joining us, NFL.com, NFL Network. Okay, Judy, say Aaron Rodgers comes to you and says, Judy, I've been following you for years. I think you're one of the smartest people covering the NFL. What should I do?
Oh, man. First of all, I'm intrigued that we haven't actually heard directly from Aaron since the Jets, you know, announced that they were going to part ways.
Don't worry, we will.
We will. But, you know, but, like, it does beg the question, like, did that give him a moment's pause about whether he wants to continue playing? But, you know, certainly it's hard to start over again, 41 years old. Again, you're going to an unfamiliar organization. It's probably not going to be a situation like the Jets where they put a lot of the people around you that you wanted. You know, he's going to have to fit into an organization rather than an organization fitting around him now. You know, and he's essentially going to be a bridge quarterback, which is a crazy thing to say about Aaron Rodgers, right? Mm-hmm. A first ballot Hall of Famer, but he's a bridge. You know, whoever signs him, it's getting him for one or two seasons, maybe. I guess I would say to him, be careful about your decision. He doesn't need me to say this. He certainly knows this himself, but be careful. He wants to be put in the ideal spot. He wants to be put on a team that can win now. And there are not that many teams of the teams that need quarterbacks. There are a lot of teams that need quarterbacks, but not that many of them are in a win now situation. I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers are, but, like, who else, right? I mean, the Tennessee Titans aren't. I don't think the Cleveland Browns are. The Giants aren't, right? Like, who? The Raiders aren't. So his pickings are going to be slim if that's what he wants. Like, if he wants this sort of Tom Brady ending where he goes somewhere and wins a Super Bowl or at least makes a really good run at one and then rides off into the sunset, that, you know, there's just not that many fits for that.
You know, Judy, sorry, EJ, Adam Schefter saying recently on his podcast that if Matthew Stafford, if they move on from him in L.A., then maybe Rodgers slots in there. What are you hearing about Stafford? Is this all a lot of smoke, or do you think there's some real possibility that he's on a new team next year?
You know, to me, this does not make any sense because the Rams, I think, are ahead of schedule. They are on different timelines, right? Like, the Rams have a very young roster that has come along faster than expected. They're ahead of schedule. Matthew Stafford is an older quarterback who's still playing at an extremely high level, but is probably not going to play that many more years. And so the Rams sort of have to decide, do you keep it intact with Stafford and make another push? Certainly they are more competitive if Matthew Stafford is their quarterback next season. There's just no question about it. We saw what they did this season. They made the push to the playoffs. What could they do next season? But they have to make decisions about the timeline, and do they move on from Stafford and get a younger quarterback who would certainly be less expensive, which would be important because a lot of the young players they have on their roster are going to come up for contracts, and they're going to have to be paid. Certainly, if Stafford, they were noncommittal, meaning the Rams were noncommittal at the end of the season about Stafford's future. If that is a signal that he is available for a trade and teams make an offer that they like. I mean, Stafford is clearly the best option then available. I mean, he's clearly better than Russell Wilson or, you know, Sam Darnold or whoever else you want. And then if you're a team that is in win right now mode, you have to take a long look at Matthew Stafford because he is still playing at a super high level.
Julie, last year we saw Saquon Barkley have a massive impact with the Philadelphia Eagles coming from the New York Giants. And yesterday, me and Maggie were trying to figure out who is the next Saquon Barkley this offseason. Who is the guy that may be on one team and will be going to a different team and then turns them into a Super Bowl contender or maybe Super Bowl winner? Is there a guy, whether it be a guy who requested a trade or someone who's a free agent, that you could see having that similar impact on a new team next season?
Well, first of all, I don't know if there is another Saquon Barkley in the NFL, right? He is such a unique, not just player, but a unique person. I mean, you saw the impact he had on my locker room, too. So having said all of that, Myles Garrett has requested a trade from the Cleveland Browns. The Browns so far have been steadfast in saying, no way, we are not trading him. But if that would come to pass, that they would trade him, and if he went to a team that has other pieces in place, he is a game changer. He's one of the best defensive players. He's a defensive player of the year candidate every year. He is a franchise changer. So if they trade him and if he lands, with a team that has other things in place and is ready to take off, that would be somebody I think could transform a defense and transform a team. But again, Saquon is so unique because he landed in the perfect spot, right? This is what the Giants always thought he could do. That's why they drafted him so high. They just did not have the pieces around him. They especially never had that offensive line. So Saquon dropping into an Eagles organization that had one of the best offensive lines in the league, that had receiving weapons, a quarterback, like that had everything else in place, that was jet fuel for them. Just a very, very rare matchup of a team that has everything else and a player that can just drop in and take off. But again, let's keep an eye on Myles Garrett. Mm.
Judy, last one for me, and thanks so much for being generous with your time this morning. Judy Batista from NFL Network and NFL.com. We talk about this quite a bit. Do you think the Dallas Cowboys still deserve to be called America's team?
No conversation about the NFL is complete without a Dallas Cowboys.
It's an obligatory question. But
right?
Besides asking about their offseason, and we're not expecting a whole heck of a lot, do you think they still deserve to have this moniker? Because it's been a full generation now of Cowboy fans who have not seen them win.
Right. Look, America's team is all about marketing, and there is no question that the Dallas Cowboys are relevant whether they are good or bad. In some cases, a lot of people prefer them to be bad, right? Like it's like rubbernecking at an accident. Like people love to watch when they're struggling and going off the rails. But you can't take your eyes off them. And I maintain this, and I'm not a Cowboys fan. I'm just an observer. The NFL is better when the Cowboys are relevant, and when they are not in the mix, the league is diminished because you can't take your eyes off them. They have compelling players. Dak Prescott is a great player. Micah is a great player. And Jerry Jones is the absolute greatest marketer in sports history. He has his finger on the pulse of what people will pay attention to, and you can think he's a clown, and you can think he's done a poor job running his organization, and that may be true. But you're paying attention, and that's what matters.
Judy, always appreciate you. Thank you so much for doing this. Love getting your expertise. We can watch you on NFL Network, read you on NFL.com. Have fun at the Combine. Enjoy that.
Yes. I go on Sunday. Oh, yes.
Say hi to Travis and Shador for us. We'll talk to you soon.
I will.
Judy Batista. Appreciate her so much. It's fun offseason. I actually think the combine is going to be pretty fun too if these guys actually do anything. Like if Travis Hunter's actually out there doing drills, if Shador and Cam Ward are throwing, that could be very fun.
Yeah. My instinct tells me they won't, which is a little sad, but it's been kind of up in the air about Cam Ward, whether he will throw. He's extremely competitive, so I feel like if he doesn't, it's going to be because someone told him not to, not because he doesn't want to. But what do you think of Travis Hunter going in only as a corner?
I think that's smart. Because I think whoever does draft him, whether it's the Patriots or maybe it's Manny's Giants or I don't know who it's going to be, but I think they will find a way to get him involved on offense. Right. But you can't walk in saying, oh, he's going to be playing full snaps on both sides. And I think it's better for his probably for his bottom line to play corner than wide receiver.
I honestly feel like if someone tried to play him two ways, that'd be the easiest way to make him a bust.
Yep.
Because the way in which you would have to learn how to play NFL caliber, both corner and wide receiver, that'd be too much, I think, for anybody. It's nothing to do with him as a talent.
Yeah.
It's just that is, we've seen guys who are only wide receivers drafted in the top 10, top five, who flame out. Guys who don't have to worry about learning a defense, just learning how to play offense, they had trouble. So to put that on him would be too much. So I understood it from that regard.
And the injury stuff. That's, I mean, 2 years ago, he couldn't stay healthy at Colorado. So that, it's going to be way more wear and tear. Got hurt a little bit this year, too, and still won the Heisman.
Yeah.
855-212-4227. You know, our great debate today are sports traditions that should be retired permanently. I almost want to say the combine if guys aren't going to work out. But still, enough guys are still working out. It's just usually the high-profile quarterbacks that don't do anything. But the combine is just an exercise in FOMO. Like, why is everyone there? It's because someone else is there.
Well, you saw certain teams stop going, right? Like, the Jets weren't going. The
Sean
Niners
McVay,
weren't going. Sean McVay doesn't go.
I don't know if Shanahan went.
Famously, wasn't there an issue with Mike McCarthy not going? We were like, you're the last guy who should be showing up to work. Like, you literally only have one more year in your contract.
Yeah, that's when I want to take the podium.
Yeah.
Be like, no. And another thing, who else has a question? I'm certainly the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Well, not anymore. 855-212-4227, the sports tradition that needs to be retired. Get back to that next. Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff Show. EJ Stewart in for Perloff. Out on vacation this week. We've been asking you today, our great debate, the one sports tradition that needs to be retired. Off of Kevin Durant basically saying, if you guys don't like watching the NBA All-Star Game, then let's just end the All-Star Game. And we're like, huh, is that possible? I didn't even know that was on the table. All right, let's end it then. Jeff is in Tucson, has a similar idea. Jeff, what's the sports tradition that needs to go?
Thanks for taking my call, Maggie. The Pro Bowl, let's get rid of that thing. You know, that thing has been a farce because the players don't want to hit each other. Now they want to play flag football, which may be entertaining, but isn't what I want to. You know, I grew up with watching the college all-stars play all the Pro Bowl players back in the day. That was the gig, you know? So anything farce of that, I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to tell you, Maggie, is this.
Yeah.
You asked about why is there a 5-year waiting list?
For the Hall of Fame.
Right. For any of the Hall of Fames, right?
Yep.
So my thought process in that is these people, whoever the heck they might be that vote, they are waiting for that person, Hall of Fame to be, to mess up. So they can have a reason not to put him in the Hall of Fame.
Wait, what? They're waiting for what? What, Tom Brady's going to slip up a banana peel? What's going to happen?
Well, maybe not Tom Brady, but some of these borderline guys that are waiting to get into the Hall of Fame, they should be first-time balloters. But let's say Brady goes off the rails and gets a couple DUIs or something, you know?
Jeez.
Then all of a sudden it's like, oh, look, he's got an alcohol problem now. I don't know if we want to put him in there.
Let me get this straight. You think that there's a 5-year waiting period to be eligible for the Hall of Fame because the writers are waiting to see some of our most beloved athletes trip up and then therefore keep them out of the Hall of Fame?
It's like you need a background check in order to get into the Hall. That's the 5-year waiting period.
Man, Jeff, thank you for the call. That is diabolical.
What I will say, though, is I think with the Baseball Hall of Fame, doing stuff with these steroid guys, I do feel like for some of these guys that took way longer than expected, like a Piazza or, you know, a Bagwell or something like that, I think that they may have been like, well, let's see if a trainer comes out.
Oh, another something. Brian McNamee?
Yeah, because those guys, like, other than being big and strong and hitting home runs, there was no smoking gun in terms of steroids. But these guys had to wait for no reason. And I kind of thought maybe that was why. Like, why would you hold out on some of these guys that are clear first ballot Hall of Famers?
Yeah, I think that there was some whisper. Yeah, it's like a very unscientific thing.
Yeah.
And the Baseball Hall is such a mess because you know, it's the, whether it's the steroid stuff and who actually gets penalized for this. Like Pudge Rodriguez, really? Like waltzes
that's
in.
That's crazy to me.
But you're going to keep these other guys out. And that's just one example. And I only say that because of the Jose Canseco book, which turned out to have a lot of true things in it.
What about David Ortiz?
Did, you know, just basically outlines a scene where Pudge Rodriguez is taking steroids. David Ortiz is going to waltz in despite being on the Mitchell Report. So, it's not perfect by any stretch, which is why I'm like, why are we even have this grace period? This is one of these things I think are just kind of like, there's just no rhyme or reason to it. I don't know why we have it. Anyway, some other traditions that you guys have given us. Gatorade baths.
Yeah.
I don't find them so objectionable, but you guys do.
I find it objectionable when I lose my prop bet on what the color.
You just don't have the good inside information.
Yeah.
We all gave our thoughts. I said live animal mascots. EJ's not a fan of handshake lines anymore.
College basketball, particularly. Some hockey fans were giving me crap. I'm like, I don't care what you do in pro sports. Doing it in the college,
asking for trouble.
Yeah, come on.
Manny's not a fan of the kiss cam.
No, well,
don't
get
worry,
away.
Manny. It's not a fan of you either. Alex doesn't want the Yankees to have a ban on facial hair anymore. Pat says get rid of the wave, and Pat is here with headlines for us. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on? Adam Schefter, we had some NFL news here. Adam Schefter tweeting this past hour, we will have another week one Friday night game in Sao Paulo, Brazil. The Chargers will be the designated home team. They're giving up a home game to play in Brazil. This past year, it was Eagles-Packers. What'd you say?
Are they really giving up a home game?
Yeah, they might have more fans of Brazil. Who knows?
Seriously.
Well, yes, I guess, yeah. Well, they're giving up a game that would be played at their home stadium.
Yeah, I don't think Chargers ownership has done enough to tick off the fans of Brazil yet. Definitely the fans in San Diego.
So Eagles-Packers was a great game this year. Chargers will be one of the two teams. And that's Friday, September 5th, their opponent TBD. The other international games that, as we know them so far, Jets and Browns are playing one each game in London. Jaguars,
not each other. We're only talking about the designated home teams.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, England.
Yeah, I don't think we know any like complete game this for the 2025 NFL season. Jets, yeah, sorry, London is right. The Jaguars will probably have their back-to-back home games. Colts are playing in Berlin. Dolphins are playing in Madrid, first game in Madrid. Steelers are playing the first game in Dublin. And then we already have the Rams confirmed for the first game in Australia in 2026.
So, Pat, obviously you're a big Notre Dame supporter. They play in Ireland every now and again, right? Are you going to be excited to watch the Steelers in your ancestral home?
I couldn't care less.
Couldn't care less. All right. NFL in Ireland. Who gives a crap?
They're going to be treated to an Arthur Smith offense. So
perfect, it's on you.
Perfect for Ireland. It's going to be a famine.
I'm looking at this list of teams.
Oh, man.
Jets, Browns, Jaguars, Colts, Dolphins, and Steelers.
I want to expand the game, Roger Goodell says.
We are not sending our best. Apologies to Europe.
Well, when the Chiefs played in, was that the Chiefs play in Germany last year?
Yep. Was it last year? They played the Dolphins.
Yeah, 2 years ago. That was supposed to be a good game, and then Tua forgot how to throw a football.
Right.
The worst throw in the history of the NFL in that game.
I know, because I think his brain was leaking out of his ears, but
probably.
I'm sorry. Well, there's still time for some good opponents.
So we're going to see a blowout now? Because all those teams will get blown out by a good opponent. So I guess either it's going to be a blowout, or you're going to have another Colts Patriots special, what was it, 10-3? When they almost left Belichick on the tarmac in Germany?
I'm telling you, I don't know how this helps like our foreign relations. Dicey time right now. You sure you want to be sending all these crap NFL teams?
It's almost like what the NBA did with the All-Star Weekend, where I'm like, are you guys purposely trying to make this not a thing? Because if I was trying to say, if I don't want NFL overseas to work, and I don't want to have any threat of my teams
leaving.
Send
the Jets.
Send the Jets, Browns, and Jaguars. There you go.
We will offend you.
Chargers home opponents next season, obviously the West, the Colts, the Eagles, the Commanders, the Steelers, and the Vikings.
Who do
and
we
the
want
Texans
Colts,
as well.
Vikings in Berlin.
Texans as well.
Here's my question about the Brazil thing, though. Did that work? I seem to remember Jordan Love getting hurt at the very end of the game. Didn't they blame the turf?
Darius Slay was like, I'm not leaving my hotel. I think I'm going to get robbed.
Yeah, that grass was
well, he was
not
being
great.
A little alarmist.
Yeah.
That grass was slick. That's why it was like 30, I don't know, both teams were in the 30s.
Maybe they won't make the same mistake they did last time of the city's biggest rival, I think, was green. It was like a team that wore green, so they put the Eagles and the Green Bay Packers there.
And didn't the Eagles wear black, and then the Packers wore obviously their home whites.
But they were saying to the families and stuff, like, don't wear your gear around town. Yeah. It's like wearing Red Sox stuff, you know, in the Bronx.
Yeah.
You're going to get jeered.
Yeah, to answer your question, I don't think this worked last year. But if you're talking about being someone who looks into superstitions and luck, I mean, the Super Bowl champs played in that game, and they went on
to win
a Super Bowl. Like, if you're the Chargers, do you feel good about, like, hey, last year they went there, they had a miserable time, but they did win, and then they won a Super Bowl. So maybe this is something for the Chargers or the other team that gets to play them. Maybe they'll use this as some kind of motivation or something. I don't know.
Brazil straight to the Lombardi.
Yeah, that's the path.
People keep saying that.
There you go. Back in the first hour, told you the Panthers are re-signing Andy Dalton to a two-year deal to continue to be Bryce Young's backup, and Kellen Moore and the Saints are reportedly hiring Doug Nussmeier to be their offense coordinator. Huge day at College Hoops yesterday. Played just some sound in the opening hour. Here's some of the games we didn't hit yet. So did you guys, I don't know if you talked about it, Dan Hurley last week when he's in Creighton, they beat the Blue Jays, and he's showing the fans his rings.
Two rings, Baldy.
Yeah, exactly.
I think is the quote that will live forever. I got two rings, Baldy.
From a bald guy, but still funny.
Not then, Brian Baldinger. I don't think he had the stones to say that to Baldinger.
Then he had to eat his words. They epically collapsed as a 14-point favorite against Seton Hall on Saturday. So big home bounce back spot last night against Villanova. They're down 14 with 12 minutes to go. They stormed all the way back.
He gives to Brickus, who will try a three, and it's no good, and it's rebounded by Caravan, and UConn is going to get out of here literally by stealing one from the Wildcats.
Yeah, UConn basketball in Learfield. Huskies use a 27-6 run to end the game and beat Nova 66-59. Liam McNeely scoring 16 of his 20 points in the second half. Big Ten battle in East Lansing last night. Purdue, Michigan State. Sparty got up for this one.
14 on the shot clock. Richardson just dribbling around. Killing time. Love to Carr. It's good. And that's probably the death nail for Purdue.
Yep. Spartan Media Network. Two teams in the top 15 in the rankings. Michigan State takes down Purdue 75-66. Pull a half game within Michigan for the top spot in the conference. A couple of the other notable results. Number 2, Florida smashed Oklahoma 85-63. Fifth-ranked Houston took care of Arizona State on the road 80-65. Josh Hubbard had 21 points. And number 21, Mississippi State upset 7th-ranked Texas A&M 70-54. And then another upset in the Big 12. TCU fans stormed the court after they shocked number 9 Texas Tech 69-66. By the way, did you guys see that last week? I don't know if you got to this either.
What's that?
Out the Alabama AD, who said that the only way to stop storming the court or storming the field is to then forfeit the team, the home team, if they were to pull the upset whose fans storm the court or field. Forfeit the game automatically, immediately, if their fans storm the court or field.
Yeah, I don't like that.
He's right, though. That would stop it.
It might stop it, but I'm actually someone who's in favor of court storming. We're talking about great debate traditions that we want to see retired in sports. That is one I never want to see retired. Now, does it get out of hand sometimes? You want to try to do it in as safe a way as possible. But you can't take away storming the court from people who, unless you're the quarterback and get to be in college for 7 years. Most people only go for 4. And this is like, you get your time to be a student. Adults don't storm the court. I mean, you got to be a psycho. But students can do it. Manny would be the first one out there.
That's why Manny's going to St. John's next week.
Yeah, but I think that, like, you got to let people have their college experience. You go to a place that has hoops, that plays at a high level.
Yeah.
You get to storm the court every now and then.
My problem is, I think there needs to be some form of rules and regulations. TCU storming the court, that is not a basketball power. You beat a ranked opponent, fine. What I don't like is Indiana or Kentucky. There, sometimes we've had some big programs storm the court where I'm like, you guys used to be national champions. Like, or you have teams that are in ranked matchups where both teams are ranked in the top 5 and there's a court storming. There should be designated games where it's like, okay, we come into this week, we see that Tennessee's ranked number 2, and Vanderbilt, you're not ranked. If you win this game, you are allowed to court storm.
It can't be designated court storm. It can't be anarchy.
It can't just be...
It has to be a top 10 team.
Yes, hold on,
though.
Exactly.
I like that.
Hold on. Here's the thing, though. You also have to leave a little room, I think, for blue bloods. Because I don't care if North Carolina's not ranked right now. If I'm, like... I don't want to say Wake
Forest. If they were to beat Duke and not lose by like 30 they did.
Not even Duke, but Duke would be a part of this.
You can't storm your rival.
No.
Can't do that.
I'm talking about if you beat a blue blood, right? Like if you beat North Carolina, yeah, they're not ranked right now. But if you are a small ACC team that never beats them or someone else,
you're gonna storm the court.
I think you get to because of the tradition.
Come on.
Anytime you beat Duke, you get to storm the court.
What?
Anytime.
No yes. way. Because there are some of these programs, like I mentioned in Indiana, North Carolina. We talked to Roy Williams yesterday. They're on hard times. That's not an accomplishment. It's not an accomplishment to be a team that's 500 or not going to make the NCAA tournament. Like, those teams should have to be ranked. Now, if you want to say, okay, if North Carolina, they don't have to be in the top 10. They could be 22 or, like,
yeah.
Maybe I could do that. But some of these blue blood, quote unquote, teams are like UCLA, for example. UCLA is a pretty good team, but they're not ranked. If Minnesota would have, this is a road game last night, but if they would have won at home, they should storm against UCLA?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't John Wooden. John Wooden's not walking through that door to quote Rick Pitino.
I know, but I think that there is something about if you are, maybe not in the same conference, but if you are a lesser basketball school and you beat a blue blood, I don't care if they're having a down year, you should get to storm.
That's nonsense. That's ridiculous.
I don't believe that?
You actually believe what you're saying?
Let's say, okay, I'm going through North Carolina's schedule right now.
Yeah,
right?
They play.
Let's say somehow Saturday, December 14th, LaSalle University
goes
on the road in Chapel Hill. Well, it can't happen because they have to be at home. Okay, so say they have a home at home.
Florida State plays them next week. Florida State's 15-10. They should storm the court for beating 15-11 North Carolina.
Well, the problem with FSU is they have their own basketball tradition and stuff like that. I'm talking about a certainly lesser school.
So if LaSalle played North Carolina at home.
Yes. And even
at this point in the season, somehow.
Yeah, somehow, which I know they would never stack it this way. And you beat them, even though UNC is 15-11 or whatever they are, I think you get to storm. Yes.
Wow. I don't think I've disagreed with
it. It's like storming on principle or something. Tradition.
I don't think I've disagreed with a take from Maggie more than this. I'll be honest. Because the point of storming the court is there was an expectation that you were going to lose. That, like, this was a team that was so much better than you. The fact that you won, this is so incredible. We're going to storm the court. And I hate to just pick on North Carolina. That's why I'm throwing on some other teams in there, again, like Indiana or someone like that.
Yeah.
Miami. Yeah, exactly. Like, if you watch those teams play, there is no surprise when they lose. Like, they look like losers right now. Like, they don't look like teams that are powerhouses. So to say, well, we're just going to storm just because of what you did 20
years
ago.
Storm on tradition. Not 20 years ago. North Carolina won the title in 2018.
It's like if I were to get into a street fight with a professional fighter and I win, I'm celebrating. I'm storming the court.
Yeah, you beat Mike Tyson. Even a diminished Tyson, you still get to celebrate.
If I beat up a 19-year-old who's like half my size, I'm not storming the court.
But you mentioned Mike Tyson. That was what was sad about the Jake Paul fight. Was that like, this, you're not fighting Mike Tyson. You're fighting the ghost of Mike Tyson. Yeah, this isn't real.
And like, more people watch that than any college basketball game that will happen then, now, or ever.
I know, but we all dunked on the fact that he was acting like he won a heavyweight championship for beating a guy who had bad knees.
I'm just saying,
laughing even thinking about it.
Like, you beat a legend.
A legend.
Even a diminished one. I stand by this. Tradition court.
Wait, man, can we make that as a poll? I know it's late in the show, and maybe we can get back. We can do the results tomorrow. But we need that poll up. Should you be allowed to court storm?
Against a non-ranked team.
Against a non-ranked team.
A non-ranked, but I'm talking about traditional.
A blue blood. Who's not ranked.
I'm not saying you can do this, you know, for every Northwest, East, South state.
Right.
I'm saying Duke, UNC, UCLA, Kentucky, Kansas. You know the blue blood.
No, it's one of those things you know when you see it.
Yeah.
Definitely. I get
not
you.
Miami.
No, but I thought I was mentioning like Miami football, like the field stormings. And no one stormed the field
but
Miami anymore.
I mean, even then, Miami basketball was in the Final Four. Sure. What? They were in the Elite Eight twice in the last couple of years.
Like
Jim Larrañaga stepped down. They've got like 6 wins this year.
Felt like a fluke. Lucky season. 855
Below 500, you say?
What's that?
Below 500?
No, I think not.
Unranked blue blood.
Unranked blue blood. Do you still get to storm? 855-212-4227. Pat, thank you so much. Coming up, we will check in with our favorite college football coach.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe that?
Dion.
You believe that?
All right, well, this one is a little more Dion adjacent. Kind of expanding the Daily Dion.
Nice.
To include Deion Sanders Jr., who was working the camera as his brother, Shador Sanders, was asked about the fact that he may go sixth overall in the draft. And that would be to the Raiders.
Yep.
Here's what Shador had to say. So, translation, that's cap. It's a lie. Not going six, bro. Now, Shador obviously thinks he's going much higher.
Yes.
And I can understand that. I still think Shador could end up with the Raiders, though. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to be sixth. I don't know if it's going to be a trade. But I don't know why, EJ. I just can't shake the fact that the fact that Tom Brady is a mentor of Shador, the fact that the Raiders are so desperate for a quarterback, the fact I think that Deion would bless this,
yeah.
All the things lead me to believe that we're going to get a Manning situation where the patriarch of the family is steering where the sun goes.
I think one of the dirty secrets about the NFL is the draft being very determined very early. I think a lot of these guys are actually resigned to knowing a decent range of where they're going to go, at least the very top guys. Maybe once you get past 10 or whatever, but I think the top five, I think they kind of know what's going to happen. I think Shador probably knows either, like you said, the Raiders are going to trade up and I'm going to be, you know, pick that number 2 or number 3. Or he knows that the Giants are going to draft me at 3 And I'm not going beyond that. So we can stop talk about me going at six. Right. I think that by this point in time, yes, I got to go through all the workouts and all the stuff. But as long as, like I call Jeff said, like, you know, there's a 5-year waiting period waiting for something bad to happen.
Yeah.
As long as Shador doesn't do anything crazy, which he won't, like he knows where he's going to go. So I think he's just being honest. I think he's like, yeah, sorry. We've already talked to the teams. We kind of know what's going to happen.
Kind of know. You think even this early in the process, they
I
know.
Do.
Wow.
Yeah, because, I mean, these teams, the scouts have been doing their work months and months before. Right now, at this point, this is just them then going to the coaches and the general manager saying, this is our recommendation. This is who we know these guys to be. You know, the general managers don't need 3 months to figure out, okay, like, I'm going to watch this week 2 game against, you know, South Dakota State again. Like, you know what he is. It's not going to need, you're not going to need a lot of decision making. I think this has already been decided.
Yeah, the only thing is that you don't know what the other teams are going to do, right? And so maybe you get an inkling or, you know, teams can kind of be, honest with each other, I guess. I don't know, without giving away a competitive advantage. The one thing about this year's draft, which is going to make it, I don't know if it's anticlimactic, but at the number one pick, we're going to obviously know where Tennessee's leaning, depending on whether or not they're in the free agent market.
Right,
you know,
yes,
they give Sam Darnold $150 million. Well, I mean, I don't think Cam Ward's going there.
Right, exactly.
So some of that stuff we're going to kind of understand. You know, if Cleveland makes a move with Deshaun Watson, or conversely, if they don't, then I think they probably are drafting a quarterback, you know, that way. So I think we're gonna know. But the Shador thing could end up getting pretty messy. If they do like I say, which is orchestrating him to the Raiders, you know, it's gonna be bumpy. It was for Eli Manning, and that was long before the days of social media, like as big as it is today.
Should Shador want to go to Las Vegas?
Yeah, I think so.
Of these options, Browns, Titans, Giants.
I honestly think that Deion would like take over. Like, he would hijack the plane before Shador could go to Cleveland, and I would totally understand it. And I'm sorry to the Cleveland fans, but your track record, I know the Raiders isn't much better.
Yeah.
But the track record is just a quarterback graveyard. And even guys with talent, they get out of town, like Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
So I don't trust Cleveland. The New York Giants, maybe because of Daboll, but they've been a mess for a decade.
Yeah, we have.
And I think the Tom Brady aspect of the Raiders, along with Pete Carroll, is very appealing because Pete Carroll has that sort of good demeanor. He's been a college coach and a pro coach, and so I think he's got the, you know, the right attitude maybe that they might like.
Yeah, and I get that. I think the one thing I think that is an advantage for the Raiders is all those other teams and coaches we mentioned, all guys on the hot seat.
Yeah.
Like we have no idea if Callahan's surviving more than 1 year. We have no idea if Kevin Stefanski's gonna survive this year. We saw John Mara, what he said about Daboll and this front office. Like, this is a playoff or bust year for a team that's not a playoff roster. So I think that there is some, as crazy as it sounds, stability that comes with going to the Raiders.
Wow.
Sounds insane, but I think that is real. But to me, I wouldn't be as afraid of Cleveland as you are, because I think if we're talking about developing a quarterback and getting with an offensive coach, Stefanski is the best coach of these people.
Well, Pete Carroll's a really good coach. But not an offensive developer.
Defense. You got to see whether or not he's going to be able to put together another good offensive staff. One of the problems in his last years in Seattle was the offensive staff was terrible. It's why Russell Wilson wanted to get out of there. So as he modernized his way of thinking and building a coaching staff, we'll have to see. And maybe Tom Brady has a say in that. But Cleveland, I know it's been a graveyard, but I would think that if there's any coach you want to play for, just in terms of learning how to be an NFL quarterback, I think you want to play with Kevin Stefanski.
Not enough. I don't trust the ownership that Kevin Stefanski is going to even survive this. And then, by the way, if he doesn't go to Las Vegas at 6, we're talking about Shador, the Jets are right there at 7. And again, I think Deion would hijack the plane before it could land in Florham Park.
Ooh, interesting. You don't think Deion would want New York?
Nope, not that side. Thank you to Manny Rodriguez. Alex, thank you so much. Good job. Thank you to Pat Boyle, who's with us on updates. And, of course, Andrew Kaplan doing all the work behind the scenes. EJ, great job. We're back with you tomorrow. Later, weedos.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.